I was going to ask Nancy, what was why you sung that song today?
Yeah.
Huh?
On Eagle's Wing.
Yeah. Amen. I love that song. I like it.
Thank you, Mikey.
That goes right along with Isaiah 41. Does anyone know what that says? Isaiah 40:31. Those who wait upon the Lord
shall renew their strength.
They will mount up as wings of eagles. They will run and not get tired. And walk and not become weary. Isn't that a good one? That's a good verse, good song. All right. Amen. Well, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of James. My voice is getting better. I just hope it holds up this morning. I've got a lot of hacking going up here. Get that thing out of here. Yeah. But James chapter 5, beginning with verse 13, read through 20. We don't hear enough messages on this particular passage of Scripture. And I tell you what, if you don't want to be put in your place, in your spiritual walk, or where you ought to be with the Lord, you better not read James, had you? Because he'll put you right where you ought to be, right in your place. I think James and I would have got along real well back in, if I was living when he was. I like when speak it plain and clear and straightforward, you don't have to guess, right? And James, there's no middle of the road. He speaks it like the truth, like it was revealed to him. So follow along with me in James chapter 5, verse 13. The ministry of healing and reconciliation is the message today. Is anyone among you suffering? Then you must pray. Is anyone cheerful? Anyone cheerful here this morning? All right, we have a few out there. He is to sing praises. Now, when you see the word he or him, it doesn't mean just male only, right? The Bible refers to man and so forth as mankind. So, ladies, you're not left out, okay? It includes all of us, okay? I want you to understand that in the writings of the Scriptures. In verse 14, is anyone among you sick? Is anyone sick here today? Any hackers or coughers? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him or them, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And a prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will rise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. And verse 16 says, therefore, confess your sins to one another. Now, how many of you go to one another, other people, and confess your sins? You don't want nobody to know, do you? The secret sins or any of those things. But the Bible says to do that. That's for a reason, but it's a godly reason. And it's for a purpose that the Scripture would put it that way. So pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish, and the KJV says, availeth much. Elijah, for example, here in verse 17, was a man with a nature like ours. He was just like us. Ordinary man, just like you and me. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Think about that. God heard him and acted upon his prayer. Then he prayed again. And the sky poured rain and the earth produced its fruit. Then James says, my brethren, my friends, my believers, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and covers a multitude of sins. You know, in looking in books, we should study what the Bible tells us about the human body. And there's a lot of anatomy books out there, and I've read a lot of them. I had to read a lot of them. I studied a lot of them in college and Bible college and seminary and so forth. And I often wonder what they had to do with ministry, but now I know. Because we deal with these things every day. God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, and that's why I said we ought to read the Bible about our bodies rather than so many books. And it's good to read those, but who knows our bodies better than the one who made us, who created us? He knows every molecule of our body. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, it says, a believer's body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And it verse 20 goes on to say, it says it like this, our bodies do not belong to us because we have been purchased by the blood of Christ. We've been purchased by the blood of Christ. So knowing this should motivate us to maintain good health so that the Lord can use us according to his will and his desire for our life. So, however, since we can't always avoid sickness, we need to understand what the Bible tells us when it comes to healing. Now, I'm going to clarify what the Bible talks about here about this healing. And oftentimes when we see or read this particular passage of Scripture, when we say, is anyone among you sick? We'll automatically think about the physical aspect of our lives, their body. But, and that can be a part of it, but in the Greek form, it takes it much further than that. Is any one among us who is weary? Anyone among us who is weak? See, when James talks about this and you look in the Greek form, it talks about all the areas of our life, whether it be physically, emotionally, or spiritual. And just bringing about praying is the ultimate desire of God to bring our need to him. And you see, we pray a lot, you know, in the church. But when we pray, where is really our heart and our mind? Is it sincerely saying, Lord, you know, I'm praying this and I'm hoping. But James says, you know, get others involved. Bring in the elders of the church. Of course, all churches don't have what we call elders, like the Church of Christ or the Christian Church, something like that. But when you look in the translation of what elder is in the church. In the Greek form, elder can be a pastor, it can be elder, it can be a bishop, or any leadership overseer. Okay? So it's saying, you know, bring your concern, bring your need to the church and seek out those in spiritual leadership to help you and pray about your need, whether it be sickness or it be you weary, whether you have a weakness and you want God to help you to overcome this. You know, through my years of ministry and pastoring, I've had a number of calls of ones who call and say, you know, I have a particular situation, I have a particular need. I want to take it to the Lord. It's not like we as pastors are high priests, so we have to intercede. Because the ultimate high priest, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the one that intercedes. And on the behalf of us in leadership positions, we are there to help and comfort and direct and point to the one who is ultimately ready to take our needs and do something with it. So James here, you know, he's given us a direction of what we should do. See, we need to understand basic biblical teachings on the subject for healing. See, the Lord gives us a pattern right here in chapter 5. See, the first century believers didn't have pharmacists and doctors that we rely on. So when we get physically sick, first thing we do, hey, Dr. Phi, I need an appointment. Or whoever your doctor is. And you write your prescription, you take it for 14 days, or you cannot take it for 14 days, and you get usually the same results, don't you? That's what I said to my doctor. I said, you know, you're giving me this prescription, and you're saying this is going to help me, but sometimes it doesn't. And one time he told me, he said, well, you can take it or you not take it, and usually you're going to run the course anyway. Yeah. Why did I need to take it? But, you know, that's what we do. We're hoping that for some intervention in our life to take away the illnesses or the things that burdens us or afflicts us in life. When James says, take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord. And the faith of a righteous man availeth much, or accomplishes much. So, see, the church is not practicing that today, are we? We're really not practicing that. Well, I'm not saying we're not practicing prayer, but taking our weaknesses or our where we're weary, our afflictions, our whatever it is, illness or whatever it is in our lives, take it to the Lord or take it to the church and say, you know, help me pray about this. See, that's what the church is about. The church is the sanctuary where we worship right here is the house of what? Prayer. The sanctuary is a house of prayer. Anytime you hear a sanctuary, that's what it means, a house of prayer. We come together and we take our lives and we lay them here at the altar and say, Lord, I need your divine intervention. And oftentimes I've used that word, divine intervention, and a lot of people say, now what do you mean by divine intervention? It comes from the Lord. He intervenes into our life. And when we yield to him in faith, our lives, and he takes over at that point, and in whatever his will and purpose is, that's how he takes control of our life. You know, we've had many illnesses in our area, and it's all around the world. And I've had a lot of people say that to me here. Haven't we had a lot here recently? Well, you know what? We have a lot recently and recently and recently in the past. It never ends, does it? And it never will end. As long as we're here on this earth, there's going to be affliction, there's going to be sickness, there's going to be all kind of things happening. It will. And it goes back to Genesis. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth, and then he created man.
There you go.
Right? And man decided he was going to take his own course, and when he took his own course, we wound up exactly the way we are today. But, you know, thank goodness the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to go to the cross once and for all to save us from our sins and our weaknesses. And that's why Hebrews chapter 4 says that he is able to understand our infirmities, which is our infirmities means our weaknesses, our failures in life. And even though he experienced those himself, yet without sin, he extends grace even more to us who are not able to handle our own and do on our own what we would like. But he does it in our behalf because he died on the cross for our sins. And James is saying, take your cares to the Lord. Let him bear up the burdens in your life. And in Matthew chapter 2, you know, chapter 11, verse 19 to 20, it says that, come to the Lord, ye who are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. See, all through the scripture, the Bible, and Jesus himself is giving us an invitation to come to him, to bring our weaknesses, our illnesses, our sickness to him for his blessing and anointing and healing. And James in here says, even anoint with oil. And this was a practice in the first century churches of believers. They used this because they understood that there was a ceremony or a ritual, whatever you want to call it. And the healing doesn't come from the oil, but it's a symbol of the Holy Spirit taking control and cleansing our bodies from sin, from illnesses or sicknesses. You know, Jesus, during his 3.5 years of ministry, he went along the road, placing his hands upon people's lives. And he was healing them physically, but he was healing them spiritually, because after he healed them physically, then he would say, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. That means turn around and go in a different direction as you have been, and your life will be changed. You know, every one of us who has been cleansed of our sins by the blood of Lord Jesus Christ, who are part of the family of God, we have been changed. And that change is to be ongoing each day in our lives. There's no slack time. There shouldn't be any slack time in our life where we are continually yielding our life to the Holy Spirit. And when we feel ill or sick or weak or weary in our life, then we need to take it to the Lord. And a question has been asked, you know, when we're ill or sick, is it because of sin? Not always, but sometimes it is, isn't it? If we don't take care of our lives, our bodies physically, and we do things that we know we shouldn't do with our bodies, then it's going to bring about a decline of health in our bodies, isn't it? If we don't take care of ourselves, if we don't get enough sleep or exercise. You know, our news media and the TV is continually telling us to exercise, right? Eat right and do all of these things. When the Bible tells us, you know, that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That our bodies don't belong to us, but they belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only our bodies, but everything that we have. If we could understand that, you know, Lord, give me the desire, give me the understanding how I am to treat my body, how I am to take care of my body. And I'm yielding it to you by the power of your Holy Spirit to help me in my weaknesses or in any area of my life that I might conform to the image of Christ. And when we conform to the image of Christ, then we don't have to worry about anything else. We don't have to go reading other books and all of the other things that that are out there when we understand that the Creator of this universe made us and knows everything about us. Who better understands our body better than Him? And He is the one that we go to and say, Lord, cleanse me emotionally, physically, spiritually, all the way through, that I might be a useful vessel to you. And I don't know, Rosemary Jessup, back when I was at Brush Fork Baptist Church, I was talking to her one day. I was sitting in the doctor's office. I'd went in for something like this right here that's going on. And she was saying, and I said, my goodness, your lobby is just full. There's only standing room only. And she told me, she said, you know, half of these people out there are not sick. I said, well, what are they doing here? I said, if I'm not sick, I need to leave then. She said, no, you got sinus and allergy problems. But she said 75% of the people that comes through their office is not sick physically. They are sick spiritually. And that's why the Bible says here, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another so that you may be healed. You know, if we understand what the Bible talks about, there are a lot of people in this world that walk around like this. It's got every ache and pain in the world. Always hurting, always sick, always something. When it's the Lord Himself trying to discipline us and say, hey, you know, listen to me. And you know, does God heal everybody? Does He heal everybody physically? Not always. Not always. He does. And it's for His honor and glory, whatever He chooses to do. And we are to be obedient and understand, you know, that He's going to take care of us no matter what. If we are a child of God, and one of these days, all of this stuff will be behind us. We'll have a glorified body. Praise the Lord. But we must understand, when the Bible says pray for one another or confess your sin, you know, we don't, the Bible's not saying go to everybody that you know and say, you know, I did this, I did that, and everything. Because sometimes our sins are against God only. If we sin against someone else, knowingly, they knowingly, or whatever, we are to ask forgiveness. If we sin against God, we need to ask God right then, because the power of the Holy Spirit is going to bring that to our attention. It's going to surface and say, you need to deal with this. And our world, our nation is walking around with unconfessed sins, and we think we're physically sick when we're spiritually sick, and God wants to heal us so that we will not be weary, that we might walk or run and not become weary, not become tired, and walk and not be weary in our life. And that waiting upon the Lord doesn't mean we go here and just sit down. I'm going to wait for the Lord and you let me know something. It's as we are going, as we are doing, and serving the Lord, that eventually the Lord said, okay, I brought to this point in your life, and now this is what my will is for you. Go with it. Go with it. And we don't want to jump. You never want to jump ahead of the Lord. How many of you have ever jumped ahead of the Lord? I'm not ashamed to say I have. And he has just wore me out with impatience. And he has worn me out with patience. And that's why I don't pray for patience anymore. I pray for strength for the task. Because if you pray for patience, he'll wear you out with them, right? You do what you want to do. I don't pray for patience anymore. I pray for the strength. Ask for his will to be done, you know? We ought to be patient. I am a patient person, right, Brenda? She's a patient person because she deals with me every day. So it goes both ways, doesn't it?
Amen.
Amen. So what I'm saying today in this message, you know, realize who you are in the Lord. You don't have to look back or worry about what the world thinks about you. You know who you are in the Lord. If there needs to be healing in your life, don't be afraid to go to someone that you're close to. It might be a family member. It may be someone in this church that you look up to, that you know is a godly person. And that's what this is referring to. An elder, our bishop, our overseer, our pastor, a deacon, our spiritual leader who you know is living and walking with the Lord. And it's okay for you, and you trust someone to take your burdens to them or your need. Whether it be physically or spiritually or emotional, whatever it might be, for God's healing. You see, the healing don't come from us as individuals. It comes from God. And you're getting support. You're getting the affirmation of what the Scripture teaches us to use the vessels and the resources that he has given us to better understand what his will and purpose is for us at any given moment in our lives. Martin Luther, you know, he was, you know, transformer was from the Lutheran, from Catholic to Luther. You know, it was a sense of being, he always wanted to be in the center of God's will. And Martin Luther, had a great boldness in prayer. And one of his friends, Patrick McConus, became sick and ill and expected to die within a short time. And on his bed, he wrote a letter, a farewell letter to Luther with a trembling hand. And Luther received this letter instantly and sent back this reply. And this is what he said. I command thee in the name of God to live because I still have need of thee to survive me. For this I am praying, and this is my will. That's what Luther's saying. This is my will, and may my will be done, because I seek only to glorify the name of God. Now the words are almost shocking to us, aren't they? That he would pray that way. This is my will, and I want my will to be done. And he was saying, I don't want Patrick McConus to die before me. That's what he's saying. Luther didn't want his friend to die before him. And McConus was very ill. And when he received this letter from Luther, he was at the point of not being able hardly to speak. But when the letter was read to him, there's a miraculous change come over his body, his life. And Patrick McConus actually lived 6 years and 2 months longer, and 2 months longer than Martin Luther. You think about that. He lived 6 more years. I mean, he was definitely ill and would have died. And Martin Luther said, no, you can't do that. You can't die. I'm going to pray to God that he received honor and glory, but I have much need of you to serve continually with me, and I don't want you to die before me. And God granted him that prayer. Now, I'm not saying this, that we should go around praying like that, but we are to pray in the Spirit, right? Because Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done, speaking to the Heavenly Father. So whenever we pray, when we earnestly seek God with our heart, soul, and mind, we are to be praying, so Lord, whatever the healing needs to take place in my life, whether it be physically, emotionally, or spiritually, or whatever it may be, then let your will be done, not my will. The last two verses here. My brethren, if any among you strays away from the truth and turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. You know, that is our responsibility, to go after those who you know needs to be brought into the flock, back into the fellowship of the Lord. And if any one of us are able to do that, you see what verse 20 said? Will save his soul from death and will cover multitudes of sin. That means being willing to help someone in need. So a king once had a beautiful stone. It was a large and a rare, and he was very proud of it. One day the diamond had it scratched. Got scratched and became disfigured, that none of the court jewelers would risk trying to remove the mark, and the king became very unhappy. Not long after that, a young jeweler came into the court. He took this precious diamond to him and let him look at it. And he says, you know, I think I can do something about this. And the king was skeptic about when all the other jewelers in the court said, no, we wouldn't touch that because we would probably make it worse or destroy that diamond. This young jeweler, he took it and he began to work with it. And when he returned it to the king, it was more beautiful than it was originally. Because this young jeweler had taken it and engraved a rose around that scratch, and that scratch became the stem of that rose. You see, isn't that how God takes us and he makes something beautiful out of our lives? But you see, when the world or everything else around us kind of moves us off to the side or gives us no hope, We can always go to the Lord, and then He begins to engrave with the power of His Holy Spirit in our lives and make something beautiful out of the scratches that we are. We're scratches sometimes. But He makes something beautiful out of our lives. See? Because He is the creator of all things, and He knows how to make us perfect in His sight. That's how God works. We've got to trust Him with our lives. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your precious, precious grace. Thank You for giving us the understanding of Your Word. And no matter what is going on within our lives, we can bring our lives to You. We trust what Your Scripture teaches us. And Lord, we can find healing for our bodies, for our souls, for our minds, for our heart.
I
pray this morning that as we begin this invitation, may our hearts have been open and sensitive to Your Holy Spirit. And whatever Your calling is this morning, may we be willing to step out and say, Lord, I believe Your word. You know all about me. And therefore I yield my life to You. Give me understanding. Give me clarity. What Your will would be for my life. And Lord, when we do that, Lord, You begin to transform us into the likeness of Your Son. And it brings about so many different changes. The miraculous healing of our mind, soul, and spirit. That we're no longer weary. We're no longer tired. But our feet are set upon the solid ground. The rock of our salvation, Jesus Christ. We have a different outlook on life. And that's what You're looking for us. A different outlook, a positive outlook on life, because, Lord, You created us, and You've created and given us Your best. Lord, we pray that anyone here today will be willing to take that step for You this morning, because You went all the way to the cross for us. We only have short steps to the altar to make things right. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let us turn to hymn number 330. Only Trust Him is our invitation. May we stand as we sing. Hymn number 330.